So this morning, I plan to offer a very short meditation on the story of the Ethiopian eunuch's encounter with the Apostle Philip. But before I turn to the 8th chapter of Acts, I'd like us to take another look at how we just experienced Psalm 22. Now, only the later verses of Psalm 22, the ones that we sang or chanted or murmured musically, are appointed for this fifth Sunday. And these are praises of hope and memory and anticipation of abundant goodness. But I thought it would be good, especially in this season of Easter, to include the first section of the psalm, the part that we usually hear read during the stripping of the altar as Maundy Thursday leans into Good Friday, the psalm that begins with these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And instead of ending today's sermon with some version of, and here is what it means for us today, I would simply like to lift up at the outset that what we hear when with the psalmist we sing the verses, the God we praise as having dominion over all the families and all the nations from all the ends of the earth, the God who rules everywhere, is the God who lives everywhere, the God who goes everywhere, the God who can be found everywhere, including the deepest chasms of fears that any human may experience, the God who cries out with the shamed and humiliated, the God who cries with the crucified, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So, Acts chapter 8, a story that one of my favorite New Testament commentators, Willie James Jennings, describes as both astonishing and a little comedic. So, what are the odds that an Ethiopian eunuch on their way home from Jerusalem would be reading from the 53rd chapter of the prophet Isaiah at the very moment that they and Philip would cross paths? Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb silent before his shearer. So he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. I mean, what if the Ethiopian had been reading from the book of Numbers, chapter 16, which tells of a rebellion that occurred on the Israelites' 40 years of wilderness wandering, in which God punishes the households of the rebel faction by opening up the earth and swallowing up everything and everyone whole? I mean, imagine where that conversation would have gone. Blessedly, for all concerns, including the Holy Spirit, the high official in charge of the entirety of the treasury of Queen Candace had packed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah for the journey from Ethiopia to Jerusalem and back. And for a long trip, Isaiah is a good choice because it is long. 66 chapters, I believe, one of the longest in scripture, maybe only Psalms is longer. And because there was a nearly complete scroll of the prophet Isaiah found among the Dead Sea scrolls at Qumran, today we can at least begin to imagine how reading while chariot riding might have looked. So this entire scroll of Isaiah found at Qumran is made up of 17 sheets of parchment. Parchment being writing material made from the processed skins of animals like sheep. And each of these sheets, pages, is about 10 inches high and glued side by side so that when completely unfurled, it's 24 feet long. Now, unless our pious eunuch rode in a chariot custom made for scroll reading, imagine the effort of holding the scroll open to the 53rd chapter. Imagine the irregular cadences of the horse's gait and the jolts and wobbles of wheels going over ruts and debris, rocking the reader first one way and then another. So more than likely, the slave at the reins of the chariot would have been ordered by the eunuch to drive slowly, which would certainly have worked to Philip's advantage, as he had been instructed by a messenger of the spirit to go to a wilderness road between Jerusalem and Gaza, that's about 60 miles, and no mention of where on that stretch of road or why, to what end exactly. So Philip went and is on foot. And what are the odds? A chariot of an Ethiopian comes into view, and that Ethiopian reader can be heard reading aloud, which, by the way, was how all reading was done up until the Middle Ages. No one read to themselves. The reader, writer, out loud, reading from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, which contains one of the four songs of the suffering servant, who just prior to the verses overheard is described as the one without form or majesty, despised and rejected, suffering and acquainted with infirmity, the one who has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. And the Spirit says to Philip, by the way, Spirit? Oh, the Spirit. Was the Spirit there all along? Or did Philip not notice until that moment? The Spirit says to Philip, go, see, finagle your way into that chariot. And Philip does. So, Philip, an Ethiopian eunuch returning from a Jerusalem pilgrimage, reading out loud the word of the prophet Isaiah, and the spirit of a crucified God all coming together on a wilderness road in the middle of nowhere. Philip runs on foot, hopscotching over road apples, trying to catch up, and nearly out of breath, calls out to the probably regally attired chauffeured rider, do you understand what you are reading? And this question comes from an especially humble position. And the two are important together, as Jennings points out, because together they show us more of God's lowliness and God's boundary transgressing love. So here in the middle of nowhere, God chasing after a eunuch, a slave whose own body has been modified, sheared to serve a master's need. What are the odds? Or maybe there is no question of odds, no happenstance, no maybe or maybe not. This is the why and the where and the how of life unfurling in the spirit of the God crucified and risen, how that all works. The Spirit is on the road. The Spirit is the road. The Spirit is in Philip. The Spirit is in the eunuch's invitation to join them. The Spirit is in the fullness of communion, the communion that happens inside that narrowing private space around a word about broken bodies, broken open, words on a scroll now untethered and unspooling and embracing lives all over the place. The Spirit is on the road and the Spirit is the road. The Spirit in Philip, the Spirit in the eunuch, the Spirit moving both Philip and the eunuch from Isaiah 33's word immersion into a communion that cannot be contained inside a chariot. No, a Spirit that Luke always reminds us is a Spirit that fills and spills out into the road, embracing the road. And now look, oh, there must be some somewhere. Keep looking. Where? There. What are the odds? There's water. Hardly more than a puddle, perhaps, but water, just enough. Water for an immersion, for a baptism, for a pooling of a mini community to come together in the name of the Lamb, the humiliated, crucified, and living Lamb, Jesus. And when they come up out of the water, Philip, the eunuch, and God together. Well, the Spirit snatches Philip away, and the eunuch will see Philip no more. And the eunuch goes on their way, on their road, rejoicing. Rejoicing without a trace of regret over Philip's flighty exit. Rejoicing in new belovedness that can by no power be sheared away. Rejoicing in communion with the God who knows and loves them inside out. Rejoicing that is both fierce and gentle. And still a eunuch, still a slave, but rejoicing perhaps like the caged bird of Maya Angelou, who sang with a fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still. And their tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. And while rejoicing, and while singing of freedom, the eunuch ascends again to their seat in the chariot and reminds the driver to continue at a gentle pace, and opens again the scroll of Isaiah to the 53rd chapter and continues to read aloud. And maybe a little too loud for a wilderness road, causing the beasts of the wilderness to stir and sniff the air. And then somewhere between Gaza and Egypt, the Ethiopian will come to the 56th chapter and read, "Do not let the foreigner joined to the Lord say, 'The Lord will separate me from God's people.' And do not let the eunuch say, 'I am just a dry tree.' For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast to my covenants, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the Ethiopian eunuch knows at last that their true name is everlasting. Amen.